As yet nobody welcomes you to the newly expanded Get This with Tony Martin and Ed Cavalli.
And today I dropped my own Darren Hinch style bombshell. I've stacked on. It's true. Big time. Hear what happened when I tried to become the Biggest Loser.
Oh my goodness. The nude workouts have started in Holland, thankfully.
Is that really the top story we're running over there?
My top story.
Oh man, the big ones today. What's on the internet that possibly shouldn't be? Who's had lunch with Brian Burke today and which radio show does he panel?
Where has the Virgin Mary shown up this time?
Oh, spot the Virgin Mary.
You know it. Okay. Inanimate object. She's all over him.
It's Australian radio's favourite new game. Alan Bro comes in later to take on Richard Marsland in the ultimate rock trivia challenge supervised by Radio Hall of Famer Peter Grace.
Have you been in the background of a porno?
If so, you could be on this show today. It's all coming up on Get This, where Richard Marsland is packing his strides.
The little desiccated coconut's under pressure and he's attacking anything he can get his hands on.
Isn't he? Who's going to ride your wild horse? Ask you too. Good morning, everybody. It's Get This around the nation on Triple M. Dear,
problem
idea.
Solved.
It's me, Tony Martin, regular lunch companion of Brian Burke.
That is absolutely false.
Ed Cavalli's here, hopelessly compromised by lunches with former Iraqi Defence Minister Tariq Aziz.
That is absolutely false as well.
And Richard Marsland's here, tainted by lunches and boisterous bouts of short bus style lovemaking with former Haitian dictator Papa Doc Duvalier.
There's equally, absolutely false.
No proof, obviously, but
Papa Doc doesn't get enough press these days.
Well, I just thought I'm, you know, flying the flag for obscure names while Greg Fleet's in rehab. Hello, everybody. Richard Marsland is packing his strides in the next hour, Alan Bro's coming in to attempt to kick his ass rock trivia-wise.
Rich, why didn't you go a band T-shirt today of all days?
No, I know. I thought that would be too obvious. That's just what everyone is expecting me to do, but I am wearing the Glen A. Baker fez.
The Glen A. Baker pencil case. It's all part of his rope-a-dope strategy to look like he doesn't know what he's doing. We've had an email here from Xander who says...
Hi, Xander.
Well,
Xander's emailed before.
Yeah, quite a lot.
Well, two people called Xander.
As much as he enjoys the new Talkback Mountain theme, he'd much rather hear the Marilyn Manson version of Tainted Love. I'm sure former goth Richard Marsland could arrange that. Ed, could you please post the lyrics to your power ballad on the website? It's difficult to work on new lines for the song when you can't remember what it is you've come up with so far. Do you even have them written down somewhere? Obviously, Dave Graney's lyrics are here. Where are yours?
Xander, look, I don't come around to your house and tell you how to do whatever it is. I don't tell you how to get up at midday, you know, and eat chocolate sandwiches all day and then go to bed smoking the wacky stuff. So don't tell me how to do what I do.
Xander also says, Tony, are you aware that Howard Jones is touring Australia? Of course.
How many people have said that? I think people genuinely think you're a fan. Because that's the fourth or fifth email exactly like that that's gone to air.
But hey, here's the guy who'd like to get to know you well. Richard Marsland, Brian Peterson emails to say Frankie Goes to Hollywood got their name from one of the pages in the 70s book Rock Dreams featuring Frank Sinatra. It was a headline.
And who's that? Brian, is it?
Yeah, Brian Peterson.
Frankie say relax. Thank you very much, Brian. I mean, I could have mentioned Two Tribes.
Yeah, you could have, and it would have been totally inappropriate. No help whatsoever.
No.
Okay.
I know. I'm sadly, you know, there's a dearth of Frankie Goes to Hollywood.
This better be a good rope-a-dope, Rich.
Yeah. Well, that's it's happening in the next hour. The challenge is happening in the next hour. And guys, I have to thank you, by the way, for the support you've been giving me with my massive weight loss.
Nice work.
Oh, sorry, weight loss. Did I say weight loss?
Yeah.
I meant weight gain.
Oh.
I mean, the weight loss hasn't really happened. It was supposed to.
Mm.
People who visited the website may have spotted that there are no photos this year. They're waiting till I've taken off all the weight that I stacked on over summer. Because of my forgetting to, you know, adhere to the non-delicious fillers.
Oh, what have I told you?
Policy when visiting Sizzler or
Smorgies.
What is
the matter with you?
So I have put on a lot of weight. You probably saw me on the Biggest Loser last night. Did you see that?
No.
I was on there.
Really?
I didn't really fit in, I'm afraid.
Okay.
Yeah. Have a listen to what happened.
Arriving at the White House the day after a weigh-in is always the hardest day for me as a trainer. I mean, that's the day that you get to see the fruits of your labour. As soon as I walked in the door, I was hit with the worst possible news I could have been faced with this morning.
Yeah, look, I'm still really fat, I'm afraid. No change there. Massive. Look at that. We're in Boomba country here. Oh, that was uncalled for.
That's what I didn't want to see.
Well, put yourself in my shoes, and if anything, I've stacked on. I mean, you're around fat people all day. No wonder we're losing...
What happened? We lost?
There's too many fat people. That's what I've said from the very beginning.
How did you go?
Well, how do you reckon? They're weighing us. Every week, they weigh us.
And Jared's gone.
He was huge.
Huge.
I mean, how can you win with someone like that on your team? I shouldn't be here. Look at this. And I'm one of the thinner ones.
I was horrified to see that we'd lost the third consecutive weigh-in.
What do you expect? We need someone like John Cooper Clarke, not fat people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the good news, all right? Someone's had to do something, so I've lost 30 kilos in 4 weeks.
Mate, that is absolutely phenomenal.
Thank you.
You are a freak. You've lost 30 kilos mm-hmm. in 4 weeks.
And yet still incredibly fat. I mean, it's the snacks, that table for the crew. It's laden down with pancakes and gravy and...
That's tough.
I know. I love drinking gravy. I'm not the sort of person that should be on this program.
My initial reaction was I couldn't believe it. I sat down to them and said, you guys have to start playing the game.
If eating could be a game or just sitting around, then you'd have the right people.
You've got to start having strategy as winners. Like, the last 3 weeks, we voted off the Biggest Loser.
Because of all the fat people you've given us. We're front stacked with, like, heavy-set, burly guys.
You're going to commit suicide. I'm going to be here with no one to train.
Well, bring some food in then. I mean, look at these people. They need something to eat.
Today was time to get into some high-intensity training. Today was a day to kick some blue butt.
I thought today was sandwiches. Oh, that's just gratuitous. And that. Out of the pool. Oh, what are you doing, Richard? You've added those in.
Yeah, sorry.
Why are you going to do that, Rich? A classy sketch that you've lowered the tone of with your fart noises.
It was classy, but how can you win when there's so many fat people on your team? I mean, you're sort of, you know, handicapped from the beginning, I would have thought.
I get angry. Like, I have watched it a couple of times because it's one of the staples of my flatmate Kat's viewing schedule. Anyway, so when they're doing push-ups and stuff, and then they refuse to, you know, they refuse because they can't keep going. I found myself getting really angry at them.
Oh, okay. Maybe you could be one of the trainers.
I don't want to be like, Shano, you can get in there. But they're like really, you know, you really just want them, just keep doing push-ups, man.
You've got to go in and be a bit more Ali Ermy, Full Metal Jacket style.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Hey, we've got more to come, and it's on this program. Get this. Let's get this around the nation. Yeah. In Excess.
In Excess with Never Let You Go. Rich, what category, what genre would you put that in?
Look,
Nouveau reggae?
I reckon that's a hot AC track.
What's that mean?
Adult contemporary.
Ah.
Hot adult contemporary. All but right. No, it's probably not even hot.
Yeah, I don't think it's obscure radio terminology that we're quizzing you on in the next hour. It's rock trivia. Here's one for you.
Probably not right.
What was the name of the album by Starship which featured the song We Built This City?
Oh, Jefferson Starship.
Yeah, they were just Starship, but I dropped the Jefferson by then.
Exactly, Richard.
Built This City on Rock and Roll.
That was the single. That was from, of course, Mannequin, the movie with Andrew McCarthy. Jono wants to know name of the album.
No, but I thought Mannequin featured the song Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now.
It did.
Yeah.
Did it feature also We Built This City?
Well, actually, I think you're right there.
Yeah, he's right.
But I'm not sure of the other album.
Actually, he could be very right there.
Yeah, he's right.
You mean Starship had two songs? It's extraordinary. But you'll notice that
a catalogue.
You know, as though you're being grilled by Laurie Oakes on the Sunday program, you still haven't answered the question.
I haven't.
Come on.
I know, but you've forgotten about
Knee deep in the hoopla. You've got to know that important stuff.
Knee deep in the hoopla.
It's
a positioning statement.
We built this city from a film as well. I feel
like
it was.
We built this city. Yeah. It should have been. Yeah. If not, let's get it. Perhaps if they're thinking of a sequel to Lantana. We Built This City might be a rocking opening.
So many big news stories we haven't got to. I'm about 5 weeks behind on current affairs.
Same here.
I'm still coping with the bizarre side effects to the sleep drug Stilnox.
What's that?
It's a sleeping tablet.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been quite a few bizarre side effects from people. I have to say, I've used Stilnox. No side effects whatsoever.
Honestly?
Yeah, I'm still watching hours and hours of Steven Seagal movies on Foxtel, but nothing other than that. Listen to this. One user who had experienced...
That's not a nice name for them.
Who had experienced mysterious weight gain was found by a relative taking food from a fridge and kitchen cupboards while asleep.
Yeah, right. I've seen this in a shockumentary.
Yeah. Does that need still knocks to be kicked along, though? That's just normal sleepwalking, isn't it?
No. There's an extra, because there's this little valve in your brain that stops you doing things while you're asleep.
Right.
And still knocks must be tripping it. So that you go and you think that you're awake, so you eat and you, I told you when I saw that documentary, that guy that gets up at night, uses the floor of his bedroom as a toilet, then just goes back to bed.
Oh.
It's a time saver. A woman woke up with a paintbrush in her hand, having painted her front door in her sleep. That's a good way to get things done. It's maximising your time.
She's
it's efficient.
Her front door.
Thanks to Still Knocks. Having trouble getting hubby to get out the front and do the patio? Give him some Still Knocks.
Still Knocks and a hammer.
Two Australians claim to have driven while asleep. Oh. Carl Stefanovic did 3 episodes of The Today Show while in a Still Knocks trance. One user described walking around his house like a madman while asleep.
Sleepwalk alive in the loony bin.
16 Australians were discovered exhibiting bizarre behaviour while sleepwalking. Still Knocks or short bus, I'm calling it.
Oh, hey, thank you. Thank you for that, Tony, because the comments are coming thick and fast on me, MySpace.
Yeah.
Tommy Gunn has said that, Ed, I'm ashamed of you. I finally got round to watching Short Bus, Shakes Head. I found it both disgusting and weird.
We did warn both of those things.
But, okay, well, that's fine. And that's he's entitled to his opinion. I'm entitled to mine. And he does say that, which is very nice.
We never denied disgusting or weird.
No, but we promoted it. Then Ryan's got on and said, hey, Ed, I just watched Short Bus over the weekend. I think this is a film that needs to be shown in high schools all over Australia for different reasons.
Yeah.
He doesn't go in to say what the reasons are, but he would like to be known as the guy that wants to get Australia a Short Bus on the syllabus for the high school in Australia.
Yeah, we have nothing to do with that. If it happens, wasn't our idea.
No. I don't know if he's right.
Yeah.
He's an ideas man. Perhaps Ryan, you could make a stage show of Short Bus and try and tour it around schools. That'd be nice at lunchtime.
Okay, I think that's enough Short Bus talk. It is.
Are you on board, Rich? Are you going to endorse that?
So you're suggesting Year 12 Productions,
Rich?
End of year stage version.
Were going to do Greece, but we've got. We were going to do Goodbye, Bye Bye Birdie, and all those kind of things. We did Beach Blanket Tempest at my school.
Oh yeah,
cut that.
Beach Blanket Short Bus. I'm predicting a lot of spinal problems and dry cleaning. Hey, we've got to find out what...
Standing ovations. Flag waving in the aisles.
One thing we love to do on this show is steal segment ideas from the shebang.
Oh, have we done that again?
No, we're about to do it. To open the German files.
Oh, no.
Copyright sheer gold box. Next, I'll get this. It's Duran Duran. Girls on Film. You're going to get this around
good
the
film clip.
Yeah. Great. Anything to say, Richard? Anything? I mean, trivia-wise?
Well, I know that I think it was the manager's camera that provided the sound effect at the start of that song.
Really?
I think so. And, of course, everyone knows where Duran Duran got their name.
I don't.
That's old trivia.
I don't.
Barbarella.
Yes, character.
Really?
In Barbarella. Big renter at the video shop?
No.
One of those ones that looks good, but you never actually... It's like Flesh Gordon. No.
Flesh Gordon got taken a lot.
Really?
By kids trying to look like they're not taking pornos.
You know what is a good Duran Duran album, though? They released a covers album quite a while
ago.
You've
spoken about this.
And it had, like, Lay Lady Lay by Dylan.
White Lines.
White Lines. 911 is a Joke by Public Enemy. Performed by Duran Duran.
And wasn't that the one where they did Funky Junkie as well?
Okay, good. So I was in 7-Eleven the other day.
No, we're not doing Funky Junkie.
And there was this woman, and she had $8.20 worth of purchases. And she says, I'm a bit short. The guy said, how much? She said, $8.20.
Okay.
Then she turned around to her friend.
Yeah.
And
I'm supposed to cut you off.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because this is where it gets fruity.
No, we're not allowed
this
to.
This is where the fruit kicks in.
Funky Junkies. That was a special birthday song for Dora, who's listening. Because Ian has emailed in. He says, I can't wait to see what unorganised segments you will come up with for today's program. I think the word is disorganised, Ian. If you get this today, could you guys possibly say happy birthday to Dora, my co-worker? She's quiet in the office, really quiet, and this would really, really embarrass her.
Oh.
Okay. Could you try and get a kiss song on for her? No, we
We can't.
We
do
have
it.
Funky Junkie, yeah. I think. We're only allowed to play it once per show. So
Kiss do Drops of Jupiter, don't they?
I'm not sure. That's coming up. Yeah, is that coming up?
Now, speaking of spelling mistakes and the like, Tone,
yeah.
The article that was about you in the Sydney Morning Herald, was it yesterday?
Yes, yes. It was a very good article, by the way, by Sue Jarps.
Yeah, excellent article. Yeah. You found a typo, though, didn't you?
Oh, there was a few typos.
But it had a description of Richard and myself. Mm. Richard's described as an out-of-work panel operator.
That's true.
Which is generous.
But that wasn't me. You'll notice there weren't quote marks around that. That's just a general perception at the Sydney Morning Herald, apparently.
Because I told her that he was an out-of-work bin rummaging panel operator. And she described me as a little-known actor. How good is that?
Yeah.
That's better than unknown, little-known. Somebody knows me.
Yeah. My favourite one.
I made it.
I often get part of the once popular late show cast.
Yeah, that's true.
Once popular is always good. Hey, but let's go back to Ian's question. He's waiting to see what unorganised segments we'll come up with for today. Richard Marsland, what have you got for us?
A couple of clips. You know, there's a thin line sometimes between current affairs shows and Springer.
Yep.
And when they go to Tasmania, usually kind of spells
time to blur them.
Okay. So, and they love deadbeat dads.
Yeah. Deadbeat dads.
Oh, yeah. It's a gold mine. And
I hope to be one.
They uncovered one in a small town in Tasmania, and I think he had something like three or four kids to three different women.
Awesome.
And some of the turns of phrases that are used.
Is this a go at me? That's like my dad. Is this a go at me, Richard?
No.
I'm kidding.
Are you turning into the is this a go at me guy?
Yeah, I am.
I have a friend like that who's, it's a go at me. Everything's a go at me. And then you'll talk about it on the show. He'll be sitting at home going, oh, right, it's probably a go at me as well.
Sorry, Rich. Yeah, I was only kidding.
No, but there's some unique turns of phrase and what have you.
Let's have them.
In this story.
So he was getting you pregnant, Anna, while Jessica was still pregnant.
Exactly. Yeah. And then while I was knocked up, Crystal was getting the same. This is a small town. Like, these kids have all got different last names. They could end up dating, being none the wiser about it.
Wow. Well, there's always hope, isn't there? There's always hope.
And while I was knocked up, she was getting the same. She was giving it to her.
She was getting the same.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
romance is not dead, which is nice.
I've got the x-rays back and I'm afraid, madam, you're knocked up. It's great to hear that.
Excuse me, madam, have you been getting the same recently? Well, yes, I have. I'm afraid you're knocked up.
I'll leave her with the last word.
Don't go near him. He's not worth it. He is a dirty man whore. Stay away from him.
There we go. He's fertile, though.
I know, but it's just so entertaining. I mean, obviously a horrible situation. Yeah. And they chased him down the road.
And what was he doing?
Yeah, and he was just running away. He was running through parklands and what have you. And these reports
knocking people up as he went.
But the phrase used was something like, you know, what kind of man would run away from... I'm trying to find this for you, Tony.
Yes, he's trying to find a clip for me and continue to converse at the same time.
Well, here you are. What was his name? The guy that wanted unorganised segments?
That'd be Ian.
Hope you're happy, Ian.
Yeah. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to bring in some more clips. We have so many requests for more Police 10-7 on the Crime Investigation Network.
You showed me something this morning. Oh, that was...
the guy throwing up.
A reason to live.
And what is a great look on TV is when your head and face are pixelated, but the vomit isn't. So you've got a sort of plume of unpixelated vomit emerging from this digital morass.
But you know why he's vomiting all the time? Is because when you look at his pixelated face, he gets seasick.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, don't forget...
No, we have another clip. Did we find that other clip?
Yeah. I was just going to say, don't forget in the next hour, Alan Bro's joining us.
Don't go near him. He's not worth it. He is a dirty man whore. Yes. Stay away from him.
And next up...
Anything else I can tread on, guys?
Some visual humour.
Get this.
Ticket sales are going slow.
Brought to you by Graham, whose best friend worked on that Three Stooges film we mentioned the other day. He made action stunt props. Yeah, really? Did he do this one?
Oh, sorry, I'm high on carbohydrates today. Let's get this
around. Get these active kids out of here. Jeez.
Triple M is the station you're listening to. And the Get This podcast, another one up already, our 61st podcast.
Who's in there?
It's the Mooney cast.
Oh, Mooney.
It's pretty much all of last Wednesday's show, most of it anyway. Lawyers got in there, but a lot of good bits still left.
The happiest cabbie.
He's doing that for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where to? It's not just a fancy idea for a show.
Amazing.
He's actually doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We've had so many cabbies want us to put that on there. And the Richard Marsden midweek panel challenge is on that podcast.
Hot stuff.
Mm.
Too well,
Rich. Looking forward to it.
Someone is saying which podcast has the credit card cat sketch on it. Can't put it on there.
Copyright music.
So much music we don't have the rights to. I don't think we have the rights to Oh Superman by Laurie Anderson. You know that one?
Yeah. Did we get the Velvet Underground clearance?
No.
Okay. How about the Beatles? They're normally okay.
So we can't put that one up there, I'm afraid. But we can put. Now what we can do with sketches we can't put in the podcast or on the website, we can include them in Get That, the best of Get This. It's a show just for bakers. Goes out early on Sunday morning, 6 o'clock Sunday morning.
At the bake-friendly time of 6 a.m.
So when that credit card cat one's going to be in there, we'll let you know.
So you can tape it.
Yeah, if you've got a tape recorder. Yeah. Do you know what a tape recorder is, Ed?
I think I saw one.
Yeah, cassettes.
Once.
Oh, those were the days.
I like a cassette too. Lots of structural integrity.
Yeah, very true. Let's have some music.
Totally.
Rich?
Can you just play a guitar solo? Just play the same kind of thing over and over again. Circular sort of motif.
All right.
What
here
you
we
got
go.
For us? That's good.
Well done.
Thanks.
Are these drums any good?
Okay.
Try a bit of this. Hang on a sec.
Ooh.
You like that one?
It's better.
Here's another.
Hold on, time.
One to go on with.
Good stuff, Ed.
Need something else. No. Singing.
I'm getting bored.
Yeah, he's boring.
Oh, you want me to sing?
Please.
No. Okay. I said the Joker is a wanted man. Wolf Mother here at Get This on Triple M. Let's get straight up there. There's a lot to do. Please, everybody.
Talk back. Mountain.
Yes, Talkback Mountain, that's where we are. That's where we like to be. And look who's joined us, the Bruce Gingell of this network. Peter Grace is here. Give him a round.
What's up, homie?
Hello, guys.
The first man to speak on commercial FM radio in Australia. What did you say again, Gracie?
This is the beginning of a long, long time. And, of course, I was the one chosen because I was the only one at the time that could actually form a sentence.
Oh, that wasn't popular in those days.
It was midnight. Yeah.
And now you're here, of course, to supervise the Rock Trivia Challenge in the next hour.
And looking forward to it.
And you've got all the questions in some sort of Price Waterhouse-esque back there.
Yes.
It's all above board.
It's buttoned.
Hey, tomorrow, you know who our co-host is in the second hour tomorrow?
No.
Weird Al Yankovic's going to be here.
Oh, wow.
Really, yeah?
He'll have some rock trivia. We'll do a polka challenge.
Absolutely.
Maybe every day we do a challenge.
Yep. That's a good idea. That's
with,
a good idea.
With Richard Marsden. But, of course, in the next hour, it's Weird Al Bro taking care of the rock trivia. Now, another thing you do, Mr. Grace, is you make television programs.
Yeah, I made a little series last year on public television in Melbourne, Channel 31. And I had a lot of leftover stuff too, so I went to YouTube.
Oh, YouTube. Yeah, is this Sort of Like a Show? That was the name of your program?
Well, actually, Sort of Like a Show. There are bits of Sort of Like a Show on YouTube, have been for a few months, because Friends of the Ends got hold of the
Paul Hester was
involved. Paul Hester material.
Yes.
And they put that up. So if you call my name, it'll take you there and you'll get that. But I'm under a different channel name, so if you want to find my stuff, look up Philosophy and Irony. And then click on More from this user. But there's like stand up, there's about four or five music videos I've made.
Oh, wow.
One stupid idea that sounded like a really good idea at 1 o'clock last Monday morning.
Well, that's what YouTube's
that's
for.
That's what it's for.
Ideas that sounded great at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yep. And like lots of people with, have you trawled just the field of people out there?
Oh, yeah.
There's some people with some really serious problems.
and a camera, thankfully.
They finally found a home. What's your favourite discovery that you found on YouTube?
There's one thing called What We Are, and basically it says that we're all just monkeys.
Right.
And it's 3 minutes long, real thought-provoking. There's a really good one called Battle of the Bands, and you'll find where the ABC got the idea for their intro for their best albums theme
last year.
And it's all great album covers interacting with each other. And
fantastic.
Great piece of work. And there's this real community. Of course, there's the Australian guy Blunty3000 in Tasmania.
Right.
There's the Hill 88 in Queensland. She's been on 60 Minutes.
Okay.
And she actually posted her interview on 60 Minutes before 60 Minutes ran it.
Is that right?
And Weird Al Yankovic's been one of the most requested or most viewed recently, hasn't he, with his nerdy...
White and nerdy.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot out there.
The girl who was on 60 Minutes,
yeah.
What does she put up on YouTube? Like sort of...
Just
bedroom gear?
Just her talking and coming up. She wants to be an extra. in the movie. So so she had one extra. Yeah, so she's had a thing where she went and had took her extra lessons, and she actually appeared in the background of something.
Well, good on her.
What? The ADD shopping network.
What's that?
That's 30 seconds where a bloke never finishes a sentence. It is fantastic.
It's great just for hearing people's voices and seeing people who you might not see on normal TV. And hey, do you remember that bloke you mentioned, 60 Minutes? Remember that farmer that was on when they had the sheepdog challenges?
Yeah, with Ray.
Yeah, people love hearing his laugh. We haven't played that this year.
Let's have a
Can we hear that clip?
What's it take to beat a Kiwi?
To beat a bloody lot. You've got to be pretty good. I believe the Kiwis are much, much better dog handlers than us Aussies.
Really? Don't tell them that, will you?
No, I won't, but I think we've got the better dogs.
And Ray was never seen again.
Can we have that laugh every time we mention a clip from YouTube? I want to hear. What have you found in Cavalier?
Impressions.
It's already becoming annoying.
It's a trigger, isn't it? It's a hair trigger, that sonic action. Pretty much it's mostly just people doing impersonations of their friend Mike.
Yeah.
I was trawling looking for Homer Simpson impressions because I've never heard a good one.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible.
Yeah, it is very hard to do.
Does anyone like to have a crack now?
No.
It's too hard. Exactly. People shy away from it. You never really see comedians doing it.
No.
So here, I found one guy. Mm-hmm. So when Dan Castellala, if something happens to him,
yes,
we got the Bon Scott ready to go for them.
Right.
Have a listen to this.
Do you want to hear the real one first?
Yeah. I think
real
it's,
one.
Okay.
Marge, kids,
I know, I got it.
Everything's going to be just fine. Under the sea, under the sea. There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Now, that's the real Homer Simpson.
Yeah, now I got the thing wrong before.
The Bob Scott.
Yeah, never mind.
Just move on.
Yeah, okay. All right, now here is the guy. Here is the perfect replacement. Hey, listen to this guy. In his car.
Marge, kids, pack your bags. We're going to start a new life. Under the sea. Under the sea. Under the sea.
That's him. Not bad.
Accusations. Just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
And I love how his mobile phone plays along.
Thank you, Farmer.
Thanks, Farmer.
And what I would say about that is that is more like the original Homer than the new Kermit was. Like the original Kermit.
Yes.
You know when they replaced Kermit, it was Jim Henson's son or something. Just wasn't right.
Oh, when they replaced Pippa on Home and Away.
Oh,
no
right.
No one bought that.
No. Okay, well, that's pretty good. Someone's found the new Homer Simpson on YouTube.
I spent a lot of time listening to some, dodgy impersonations for that. So.
Yeah.
Have you seen Where the Hell is Matt?
Huh?
That's the one where the guy, it's actually a story that goes with it, the guy who filmed himself dancing in front of all different landmarks around the world, put it up to show his friends where he was. Some American company came along and said, look, if you go around the world again and film it properly, we'll pay for it. So it's up there, and he's 49 different countries in the space of one song.
Wow.
And, Where the Hell is Matt? And he's 19 years old. He put it up on YouTube, made the money, and now he's living in America and telling kids, school kids about it.
Yeah.
And YouTube's only been going for 18 months. So
that's true, but the part about filming it properly, that's just not the YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say.
That's wrong. Let's ask the listeners, what have you found? What have you seen on YouTube? Give us a call, 133353. That's Train Drops of Jupiter here. Get this on Triple M. Triple M Hall of Famer Peter Grace is sitting here.
Yeah.
As we say, what have you seen on YouTube? Who's got something in?
Hi, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. How about you guys?
Very good, sir. What are you seeing?
I've seen this thing called AMV Hell, which is basically just a lot of Japanese animation inappropriately dubbed over.
Oh, what sort of inappropriate stuff are they using?
Oh, a bit of Family Guy, rather badly timed Metallica.
So it's kind of a mashup. They're not creating their own.
No, it's pure plagiarism, but damn, it's funny.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
No worries with that here. Thank you, and thank you, Paul. Thank you very much. Hello, Adam. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Very good, sir. What have you seen?
Human slingshot.
Oh, yeah.
Now, does that end well? Does that end in...
No, it's fine. When I looked at it, they showed other ones that link off to it, and there was one called Fat Guy Slingshot, and that was hilarious.
And how far do they shoot the fat guy?
Mate, there's about 20 guys, and they're all pulling him back, and they let go, and he kind of goes along the ground. The first one I told you about, it's a girl, and a little quad-runner motorbike, and they tie it to these, like, football posts with, like... traps and they just fang it 100 metres up, and the guy on the back of the bike just lets go and she flies. She'd be doing 200k.
Really?
Yeah, have a look at it. It is hilarious.
A human slingshot speed record. That's great. Thank you, Ad. Any thoughts of doing it yourself?
No, it looks a bit scary. You know, one of those straps snaps, goodbye.
Yeah.
Gracie, can I ask, wasted an evening just having a look at people being propelled through the air?
There's a fantastic one at the moment. Somebody's hung a fire hose from a crane and turned it on full blast, so the hose just flicks around. There's a guy just dancing, hanging onto it.
Riding it. Yeah.
It's like a rodeo ride.
Why are they bothering to make proper TV shows anymore? That's what I'm asking.
Get a nice close-up of his injuries at the end of it.
It's the future of television. Who's got another example?
Hello, Jason. How are you?
I'm good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, really good. What have you seen?
On YouTube, there is this awesome series of movies called Will It Blend?
Yeah.
They blend golf balls, then they blend a golf club.
Yeah.
They have the top of them blended in. They blend an iPod.
iPod was
great.
They
do this really cool one. They get, like, an entire roast chicken, then they pour a can of Coke in with it, and they blend it into a smoothie.
Oh,
nice. They blend, like, glass marbles, and this thing's just amazing. Like, you look at this blender, and they can build stuff like that, and it's like, shit. It's actually really cool.
It's a weapon of mass destruction. Yeah.
Mm. Yesterday, I saw one of what happens when you pour Coca-Cola on pork.
What happens?
The fat just comes out in about an hour later or so. It's all sitting on another part of the bowl.
Oh, it's the curiosity show. Mm. This shake needs more iPod.
Well, again, they have the Mentos and Coca-Cola one too. Where
that's very good.
That is very good.
Things up there.
No, that is art.
Thank you, sir. Hello, Jason. How are you?
G'day, guys.
Hi, mate. What have you seen?
Not as good as those ones, but me at water skis up in Sydney love watching the barefoot and water skiing crashes.
See, Jason, the thing I like about a barefoot water ski crash is it's always face first, you know?
Oh, yeah, and then many tumbles after.
Have you got any of when they're too close to the shoreline and they sort of flip out and they kind of roll onto the shore and take out a few beach chairs and that kind of thing?
Yeah, there's plenty of them. There's also the usual tube ones that you tow behind where they've gone through the reeds and up the beach.
Oh, that's a classic. Knocking over barbecues and stuff?
Yeah, and people and chairs.
Great.
Spectacular crashes. Don't forget to look up human cannonball accidents. Oh. That's always good.
Thank you, Jason.
Who's going next?
Hi, Hamish. How are you?
Good, mate. Yourself?
Really good, sir. What have you seen?
The Star Wars kid.
He is popular, that Star Wars kid.
Explain who the Star Wars kid is, people who haven't partaken.
Oh, is this a chubby American teenager?
Yeah.
And he's taking the video camera into a back room and he's swinging his staff around. And then some bright spark has added the Star Wars lightsabers onto the end of it.
And it's good, isn't it? And he sued them. His life is essentially over.
Oh,
yeah. He got teased till with an inch of his life, and he sued the kids for, you know, defamation.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
Good stuff. Also worth a look is the silent movie version of Star Wars.
Oh,
guy's done a real simple thing. He's just made it black and white, sped it up slightly, and added an iris effect around, and it just is hilarious.
Really?
Put it to all old piano music. Silent Star Wars. Look that up.
All right, thank you.
Time for one more, is there?
No. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Yourself?
Really good, sir. What have you seen?
The skit of Kevin Spacey doing Walter Matthau trying out for Star Wars Episode 1.
Yes. Brilliant. Very funny.
And how does he go?
Very, very well. impeccable. I just can't even tell the difference.
And he does. I think that's from
Inside the Actors Studios.
No, it's from the episode of Saturday Night Live that Spacey did, and he just busted out all his impressions. I think he does Christopher Walken auditioning for Han Solo, which he really did. I think
really?
That was the inspiration.
He really did
for
that.
The whole sketch.
What's his name? One of the other guys,
Jack Lemmon.
What's his name?
Jack Lemmon.
The guy from Shark. The guy from Jaws.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Daryl Hammond is Richard Dreyfuss. Yeah. All worth looking up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Greg.
Have we got? Oh, let's sneak one more.
Hi, John. How are you?
Hey, g'day. How you going?
Really good, sir. What have you seen?
These guys in America, and they've got chainsaws, and then modified them with V8 engines on them.
Oh, my goodness.
And what can you do with it once you've done that modification?
They just got massive trees and it's cut straight through in about a second.
Oh, sorted. That's
it's
what we
something
need.
To aspire so to, isn't it? Right?
So they've got a chainsaw. It's a bit wussy. Not really good at it. Doesn't really do anything. Put a V8 engine on it and then go look for the tallest tree to cut down.
That's not a chainsaw.
No, boy. Surely, do they have it? No one gets injured in this, John? Surely someone gets injured in this.
Oh, probably, but I don't know.
The answer to almost every YouTube clip is probably.
Thank you, John. Thank you, everyone.
And go and have a look for yourself. There's a lot on there. Right. Gracie, you're going to stick around and adjudicate for the Rock Challenge of the Year with Alan Bro after the news.
Get this.
Don't think your family and friends are safe because nobody is.
Brought to you by Security Man Dan, who says vote one cavalry to be the new GE Money Genie.
Do what I want because I can. If I don't because I wanna.
I think it's time to rock out.
Be ignored by the stiff and the bored because I'm gonna.
Because Alan Bro's joined us.
Yes.
Fake round for him.
Hello.
See, look at Richard Marsden eyeing you up, sizing you up, Alan.
Only knew. I've only found out about this, you know, this month-long campaign about this showdown that we're going
to
have.
Oh, so you're not listening to the show. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm only listening to selected parts of the show.
I don't know if this is going to work because this is something like a proper radio show would do.
Yeah.
Like a quiz with rules and sort of things you've got
buzzers
to...
and
protocols you have to observe.
Mm.
And the guy who's in it, who's in the hot seat... He's also going to be pushing all the buttons.
I know. I've got a lot on my plate.
Look, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say it's just going to turn into hilarious and chaotic shambles unlike anything ever seen before.
Well, that's the way we like it. Here at Get This. That'd be Cole Chisel. Ida here at Get This around the nation on Triple M. And hello to Jimmy Barnes, recovering from his heart operation, Ed.
Oh.
You must know about his condition. He's had it for years. Freight train heart. He's suffered it for years. It's eventually going to turn ugly.
Is that song about that song's about Ida Buttrose, is it?
Yeah. Would you know who that is?
I know who Ida Buttrose is. She was a kind of a lispy magazine editor.
That's how she described herself on her tax return. Correct. Did I hear Alan Bro? Give him a round.
What's that?
Alan, you used to sit in this very studio crapping on a few years back.
Yes, and then I was removed, and this is the first time I've been allowed back in there.
Oh, you're on the blacklist too, are you?
I was frisked at the door.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're back in now.
Yeah.
And you've probably heard that Richard Marsden is threatening to kick your ass, rock-wise. Yeah, now, you're known as a bit of a guru on the Spicks and Specs.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I've got a bad feeling about this. I think that my my small reputation is going to be completely destroyed by Marsden.
No.
He's just got a killer look in his eyes, which could be contact lenses. Or could be his actual eyes.
You know what? I must apologise, Alan, because they've given this a lot of sizzle, and I never said that I could step into the ring with you.
Yes, you did.
Just
it's the rope-a-dope. Don't fall for it. It's the rope-a-dope. He's lowering your expectations.
They dreamed it up.
Oh, my. I think the only thing I'm good at is lowering my own expectations about myself.
Hey, well, before we get to the Thunderdome, tell us about your show.
Okay, bags that I dress as Tina Turner in the Thunderdome.
He doesn't require much encouragement there. Are you dragging up for Top Town, your new show, coming to the Melbourne Comedy Festival and then presumably touring the globe?
Hopefully. What am I dragging up for it? Well, it's lots of characters.
Yes.
Basically, it's a narrative about a guy who goes home to look after his father who's dying.
Yes.
So, yes, you can see what a comedy festival show that is already.
Yes.
Back to a small hometown and gets embroiled in the making of his hometown's new promotional video.
Oh, that sounds great.
Because their last one was made in the 1950s and they're lactose capital of the Southern Hemisphere.
Now, is this based on... I know you're from Hawera in New Zealand. Is this based on activities from there?
It's sort of autobiographical, but it is based on Hawera. But it's meant to be it's meant to be an Australian or New Zealand small town. I've not really been specific because a lot of people have had those small town experiences, and I didn't want to make it specifically New Zealandy because of course that's going to alienate a lot of people.
But we had Cal Wilson in the
other
day.
We did, yeah.
And bloke called up receptionist and gave the receptionist a mouthful. What's going on with Triple M? It's just all bloody New Zealanders now, is it? Now Ed's from Brisbane, Rich is from Adelaide.
Brisbane.
I've been here 22 years. Cal Wilson's been here. Is that racism, Alan?
It is. Oh, look, and I've experienced this in some very bizarre forms. Once I was doing a gig and a guy stood up, he was with all his mates and he'd clearly been emboldened by being a part of a herd. And he said, you're from New Zealand, aren't you? Because I was in the middle of doing a bit about how I was from New Zealand. So I thought, well, at least you're listening to you, so that's something.
He's the sharpest of the bunch.
Oh, he was the sharpest. And then he got up and he made some mention of what New Zealanders like to... what sort of love they like to share with their livestock. And they got up on stage and demonstrated for probably a good 5 minutes various techniques that one might use for, let's say, pleasing sheep. And everyone went completely silent. I'm just standing off to the side of the stage just going, this is extraordinary stuff. And it's like it was like a Kama Sutra for man and sheep. And
how is his
all
technique?
His mates are just looking at him, and I've never seen people more horrified in my life, because clearly he was letting trade secrets out.
Wow.
And then he just stopped and looked at me as if, there you go, mate.
That's what your life is like, buddy.
Yeah. That's showing you, hasn't it?
I'm on to you.
On the sheep bus. And Top Town.
What's his show called this year? Has he got something?
No, but I think they're going to hold it in a place called the Agrodome.
Oh, that's nice.
Now, where does the phrase Top Town? That is a phrase I would hear when I was a kid, and there was a show in New Zealand, and was it not a very poor imitation of Australia's It's a Knockout?
I believe it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so all I remember about it is that Hawera, where I was born, never even got into the quarterfinals. We were just really crap. Yeah. But basically, yeah, what it was is you had representatives from your town, and they would go and perform various games, like the ubiquitous running across a greasy pole.
Yes, that's the foundation of it all.
It's classic.
That's the secret.
It's a classic. Oh, and look, it was the first thing on colour television in many countries.
Oh, it's the great leveller. You can even talk to people from Switzerland, notoriously ill-humoured people, and they'll go, a greasy pole, and then just start laughing hysterically.
Fuck work.
But, and they'd be swinging across pits of jelly or something involving jam, which no one was ever quite across, but everyone got jam on them, and people just wore shorts. That's the only memories I have of it.
And I'd like to think that there's going to be a bit of that action at the end of every episode of Top Town.
Oh, yes. Well, look, all I'll say to people is greasy pole. That's all I'm going to say.
This is Alan Bro's show coming to the Melbourne Town Hall at the Comedy Festival, and then possibly coming to your town as well. Mm. But enough about that. Do we want to talk rock?
Big time.
Yeah. Let's do that next on Get This. It's Snow Patrol, hands open here at Get This on Triple M, where we're about to attempt to do something they do on a proper show. We're about to have a quiz, a rock challenge quiz. Oh, I've never done anything like this before, Alan. Alan Bro's here, and we want to have a musical intro for it, and Richard Marsden said, look, don't put too much pressure on me. I don't want the weight of expectations. Something low-key. Let's hear it.
Hey, Australia, you ready for a stink face?
The odds are against us.
Oh, my Lord.
Say we don't stand a chance.
Oh.
There's no giving up, no giving in.
I don't think that's raising the bar too high, is it?
No, the only thing is I've ripped my shirt off listening to that intro.
And we're all standing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Peter Grace is here, Triple M legend. He's got the questions in a safe. He's managed to open it during that last song. Let's just start doing it.
Okay, according to Paul Kelly, what does the clock on the silo say?
It's a time, obviously. 4:19, let's say.
11 degrees.
Oh,
11 degrees.
No!
Okay. In trouble. Okay.
Who duetted with Jimmy Little on Bury Me Deep in Love?
Look, I'm going to go.
Oh,
Rogue Traders? No?
No.
Okay.
Oh, I'll say Nick Cave.
Kylie Minogue.
Oh, oh no. This is. Wow, this is.
Who had the
really bad.
Who had the original version?
The Triffids.
Triffids, yes.
Oh, one to Richard.
One to Richard.
Yeah, nice. Only put that one in to hear him say Triffid.
I love how he said the right answer and then he's done a what, going well.
Which band recorded the goth anthem, This Corrosion?
Sisters of Mercy.
That was equal.
Alan.
It's one each.
Who produced it?
Sisters of Mercy. I don't know.
Oh, who produced the Sisters of Mercy album? Well, whoever they are, they should be killed.
Jim Steinman, the Meatloaf Man.
Oh, did he? Wow.
That's
him.
A visionary. Thank you.
Good question. Which,
what did Marvin Gaye call the album he recorded to pay off his ex-wife after their divorce?
Oh, what's going on?
Here, my dear.
Oh, okay.
Oh, these are tough. These are tough.
Okay, let's go to the first audio question.
Oh. Okay, well, hang on. Okay, I'm doing everything here.
Can you get rid of that?
Okay, who is this? Artist and title.
Oh, Gary Wright, Dreamweaver.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, nice done.
which British band was Gary Wright in before he went solo?
Gary Wright. Yeah. Well, because, the fact that I couldn't identify that song gives me pretty much... Oh, Nazareth weren't from England, were they?
No. It was a band called Spooky Tooth, and the follow-up question is, complete this Spooky Tooth album title, You Broke My Heart.
And You Broke My Tooth.
Well, it's very close. It's You Broke My Heart, So I Busted Your Jaw.
Oh!
Wow. Gift shop time, or?
All right. Moving along.
These are really hard, Grace. Yeah,
which aging legend mentions Alicia Keys on his latest album?
Bob Dylan.
Hey, very good.
Yes. Oh, dear. He's all over it.
Who recorded the tracks The Birds and the Goats, Three Dead Passengers in a Stolen Secondhand Ford?
That is Stephen Cummings.
No? And imagine what you did what you did on the weekend was your whole life.
No idea.
I mean, Stephen Cummings does a version of Three Dead Passengers.
He wrote that song.
Been on this show.
Dave Graney.
Hey.
Oh, that's one each, I think.
It's 3-2 to Rich at the moment.
No, but I guessed first and I blew my wad, so it was Dave Graney. Okay, correct.
Save that for a later time slot.
That also sounds like a Dave Graney song, interestingly enough.
Who recorded the 10-minute early 90s track Fool's Gold?
The Stone Roses.
Both say that?
I think Alan said dip first.
Yeah, no, Richard got it because I couldn't say it quickly.
Okay.
Listen to the next audio question.
Okay, hang on.
Cameron firmed your lips.
Which of these is not a Nick Kershaw song?
It's that one. It's Like to Get You Know You Well by Howard Jones.
Very good.
It is, but I think that was fingered first by Alan.
It was fingered.
No. I was actually going to say they all sound exactly the same. And they could be Howard Jones. They could be Nick Kershaw. They could be Tears for Fears. Who cares?
Could have been different parts of the same song.
Yeah. One more question to wind up round one, Gracie.
Pick up the famous faces.
Okay. Who recorded the original version of Paul Young's Every Time You Go Away?
Oh, wow. I don't know. It was on Planes, Trains and Automobiles.
Yeah, but John Candy is not a singer. Right? Marvin Gaye.
Hall & Oates.
Hall & Oates? You're joking.
Oh, the embarrassment of getting a Hall & Oates question wrong. Well, I have no idea what the score is. Everyone
it's 4-3, Richard 4, Alan 3.
Oh, let's see if we can write that. Or maybe not. That'll be next. I'll get this. It's not over. Dexy's Midnight Runners, I think that might be with Come On Eileen here at Get This Around the Nation on Triple M. Alan Bro is here. We're in the middle of a rock trivia challenge. What are the scores, Cavalier?
Richard 4, Alan 3.
Yes.
I think that's very flattering to me, given the fact that some of my answers have consisted of me going, and Richard has to operate all things involved in the quiz at the same time.
Also panelling interface at the moment as well.
Three instances was in fact the correct answer. Just before we get back in, we have 12 more questions from the mind of Peter Grace, Triple M legend, but I understand Ed wants to throw one in.
Yes, I do. Guys, name one Keith Urban track.
I absolutely refuse to.
Correct answer.
All right, it's
four apiece.
What's going on there?
Whoa, that's controversial.
Oh no, I can't take that.
I should point out Richard Marsden is pushing all the buttons as well as participating.
Yeah, exactly. We've all got jobs to do. Return?
Yes, we do.
Apart from Keith Urban,
apparently. Could you take it up, Mr. Grace? Question.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Which 70s artist is featured at the end of Extras?
David Bowie? No.
No.
That's incorrect. That's right.
Wow, I like how you're completely self-regulating. You said
Stevens.
David Bowie, then you went, no, that's incorrect, and turned away and made a sound effect to make yourself look bad.
He's a pro.
I've got no idea.
Correct answer, Cat Stevens.
Oh, okay. Yes.
Well, which 80s band featured Pierre on keyboards?
Oh, wow.
Australian band, was it not?
Pierre. Not Alpha.
Oh! No, I know exactly. I know who it is because I've seen a video and it's
mentioned earlier. Well, the band was.
Yes, the band.
Oh, okay, yeah, Spooky Tooth.
No.
Correct answer, Pseudo Echo.
So far, by my count, Gracie is in the lead. Yeah.
Name
followed by Damien, who's playing outside.
But I'll tell you who's losing. Music. Music is losing.
The big loser. What else you got, Gracie?
Name another Oz rocker with a double whammy name.
Oh,
yep.
Gary Beers.
Yes, based by
Minutes. Yeah, good one. Minutes.
Which band was started by Carl Wallinger?
Oh, yes. World Party.
And what?
Good one.
And what band was he in before that?
Oh, yes. The Hole of the Moon. What were they called?
Oh, the Waterboys.
But I wasn't, but I'm stoked. No, that's fair enough. No, I just say it, you can take it.
I piggybacked on bro.
Five apiece. You guys are so nice.
Now it's getting nice.
Okay, audio question this time around. Who ripped this song off and what did they call their version? The guitar riff should tell you to start with, but the vocal mic.
Sounds like John Lee Hooker, Boom Boom. Oh, do you put your hands up?
Oh, no, I just am, because it then gives me a chance when everyone looks at me to think what it might be.
See if the listener, okay, you've got your hand up. First, see if the listener can guess the next bit, just from the next bit we sing here.
Baby, way down inside, woman, you need love.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Woman,
yep.
You need love.
Okay.
Ellen, is it Chris Isaac? No. Oh, no. Who is it?
Led Zeppelin, Whole Lot of Love.
That's what it is.
The song, but I'm not sure of the original.
Yeah, it's Muddy Waters' You Need Love, recorded in about...
Okay.
That's great. I like that.
Tough gig.
Okay, who did Lynyrd Skynyrd badmouth in Sweet Home Alabama?
Neil Young.
Yes.
And why?
Because
Southern Man Don't Need to Be Around Anymore.
Very good.
Is that right?
You are good. And how did he respond?
Southern Man, the song, wasn't it? Is that... Was that something to do with the song Southern Man?
No,
Ed Cavalli wants to answer this question.
Did he turn out that song Alabama afterwards?
No, he wrote a song called Walk On, in which he said some people being, I hear some people being talking me down.
No one got that.
Okay, pick the odd one out. Easy E, Tupac, Exhibit, and Jam Master J.
Easy E. I think, I don't know. I'm running the beds here at the moment, sorry.
there was the thing. He was looking away and still answering the question. And I'm looking directly at you, and I've got absolutely no idea.
No idea. But one of the,
is it Exhibit? Because he isn't dead.
That's the right.
Yes, good one.
Time, bro.
Okay, final audio question.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Okay.
Okay, roll it. 1965. Name the singer.
Okay.
Well, I pity the fool.
Actually run this.
Was it Mr. T? It is Mr. T.
No, he's actually run this radio station. You'll know I'm pitiful.
So it's a blues artist I'm gathering.
He's got a lot. He's very empathetic, though. Whoever he is.
Did you say, Gracie, it's someone who's rung this radio station or someone who's run this radio station?
As in called up. I heard on the answering machine.
Okay.
Here we go.
It's not Lulu.
Is that Teddy? This is David Bowie.
David Bowie!
Really?
Is that right?
Yeah.
What's the song?
It's on iTunes, actually. You can get it on iTunes. It's called The Manish Boys. It's called I Pity the Fool by Manish Boys, which was when he was still Davy Jones and the lower third.
Why did he call the station? To answer Secret Sound?
It was on our show a couple of weeks ago. He was very drunk and it was 3 a.m. Many questions to go, Gracie?
That's it.
Right. You've been keeping score, Mr. Cavalli. Who is the winner?
We have Alan on 6 and Dickie Marsland on 8.
Well done. And you know what? That is an absolute hiding. Because you, not unlike the dog, the some sort of Indian god, was operating about 50 things at the same time.
The whole thing was ill-conceived from the beginning, I think is what you're trying to say, Alan.
I reckon that is an absolute thrashing.
All right, I think we've got to let the... It's not over yet. Let's let the listeners get on board. On. And if you've got a button you can push, Mr. Mars, with your 7th hand...
Yeah. Okay.
It'll be next on a program. Go get this!
Get this.
One puppy is yet to be found.
Brought to you by Gavin Bryce of Brisbane, who loves a bit of talk box, be it Jovi, Frampton, or Foo Fighters. Yeah, didn't think of that one, did you, Richard? Kick his ass, Alan.
Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. The Rock Challenge has unfolded, and Marsland just by a hair.
2 points. But I've got to contest that Waterboys one, because I wouldn't have got that if Alan didn't say Hole of the Moon.
Right. Okay. But so he still would have won by 1 point, and so what's the point in bringing it up? Just to rub it in that you won.
No.
So you won. Have my job. It's at the ABC. No. You'll end up paying them like I do.
Can you queue up a fake round of applause, please, for Peter Grace and his fabulous questions?
Yeah, that was massive.
I was forgetting that we were doing a show because I was just sitting there going, how good are these questions?
Fantastic.
And nobody's area of expertise was really struck on. There were no pavement questions for Richard Marsden.
Although I think Alan would be across the pavement questions.
I'm a huge pavement fan. Yeah.
I was actually going to say, which member of pavement has the nickname of Fluffy? Because I know nothing about them, and I guess none of them have, so it would have been none of the above.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.
But I would have acknowledged.
Whereas Alan Bro will slip you a disc for your car of Magnetic Fields, Yola Tango.
Good stuff.
And often a bit of Hinder on there. He loves the Hinder.
Look, and I really do love the Hinder. I don't know what it is. It's just something about that. It's the Nickelbackness of them.
Oh, really?
Cool.
That observation is... been banned.
Yeah. Oh, and hop!
No wonder you were thrown out the door. Hey, what about the listeners? I'm sure they can stump Alan and Richard. We're not doing a quiz format anymore. Just call us up with your questions or notions for Alan and Richard.
Notions. Yeah.
Gracie will have a go too.
Gracie will dive in. Why not? Everybody can get splattered as we hear some Hinder. 1-3-3-5-3. Now you know that song, don't you, Alan?
Yeah, I really do. That's brilliant.
Alan Bro, big Hinder fan here at Get This on Triple M. Ed Cavalier's here. Peter Grace is here. We've got Richard Marsden pushing buttons. And we've got a whole bunch of callers who've got interesting points of interest from the world of rock and roll. Who's going first, Ed?
Hi, Maddie.
G'day, guys. How are you?
No, very good, sir. What's going on, bro?
Okay, I've got a bit of a question for you.
Okay.
I would like you to name the original lead singer of the now defunct band formerly known as Farm.
Farm.
Bon Scott?
Nope.
Bon Scott?
No.
Was that Fraternity?
No.
No, yeah, he was in Fraternity, wasn't he? Yeah. You mean the Farm, the sort of 1990s English band?
No, we're going way back to the 70s, late 70s. Mid-70s.
Vince Lovegrove?
Vince Lovegrove?
No. Nope. Okay, so you better tell us.
It's Peter Garrett.
Garrett, the Shadow Minister for the Environment.
Yes, much like that.
That's fantastic. Yes. Yeah, this is good. This is all good stuff.
He busts those farm numbers out occasionally in the Senate.
Hello, Andrew. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yourself?
Really good, sir. What's going on?
Oh, not a lot, mate. Just driving around.
Awesome. Got a question for them?
Yeah, who were the Stone Ponies?
The Stone Ponies, who were they?
Linda Ronstadt's backing band.
Is that correct?
They had a song called Different Drum back in the 60s.
Is that right?
I thought it was the Eagles.
No, well, they were the backing band on the record. They were the backing band live when she used to sing at the Troubadour in Los Angeles, and the Eagles formed out of her backing band. But Stone Ponies was like a studio outfit.
Yeah, I think the only way we can sort that out, could you drive down to the station, Andrew and Gracie, will fight you for it.
Yeah. And so they wrote Different Drum that Mike Nesmith ended up recording.
You and I dancing to the beat of a different drum?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Linda Ronstadt and the Stone Ponies to start with.
Okay. I'm learning today.
This is awesome. Right.
Thank you. Hi, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, Ed. How's yourself?
Very good, sir. Question for the dudes?
Yeah, in the 70s, name the band that had 6 number one albums but never had a number one single.
Oh, yes. I know this. It's got to be like a prog rock sort of thing, doesn't
it? 70s, wasn't it?
In the 70s. Yeah, 70s. So 6 number one albums and never had a hit single.
Pink Floyd?
Yeah, Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd?
No.
No, it wouldn't have been 6 albums, I don't think.
No. Is it someone like that? Is it someone like a prog rock band who just like had 23-minute songs so you could never make a single out of them?
Oh, they had a few long songs, but I wouldn't call them prog rock.
Oh, okay. So just rock rock.
I think...
No, I've got nothing.
Marsden's got nothing. You better enlighten us, sir.
Led Zeppelin.
Oh. Led Zeppelin. Yes, probably a bit obscure for our panel.
Yeah. That's a good trivia question.
That is a very good trivia question. And surely one you would have thought we would have got. Who's going next?
Hi, Stuart, how are you?
Hi, mate, how are you going?
Really good, sir. What's your question?
In the 80s, there was an alternate version to Bob Geldof's Live Aid, and it was heavy metal with Judas Priest and Yngwie Malmsteen, guys like that. I'd like to know the name of that.
Hearing Aid. It was called Hearing Aid, wasn't it, Gracie? Is that right?
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I really wanted to know the question.
Okay. No, I think Hearing Aid sound, and if it wasn't called Hearing Aid, it should have been called Hearing Aid.
I think it was, yeah.
Well, we'll accept the answer that's correct or the one that it should have been.
That'll do.
Apparently.
Hi, Stuart. Thank you, Stuart. Hi, John. How are you?
Good, guys. How are you going?
Really good, sir. Your question?
What did Ozzy Osbourne snort when he was on a tour with Motley Crue?
Ants, supposedly. Well, no, actually, supposedly two things. Ants to begin with, I believe, because, you know, his cocaine at the time was crawling around, and so he was easily mistaken for that. And then I believe that he might have peed on the ground and snorted that as well.
That would be exactly right.
Hey. Wow. But it was part of like a bet, wasn't it? Wasn't he trying to out-rock somebody or another?
Yeah, yeah. Someone snorted.
I think that's what it was, yeah.
And have you had a crack at either of these? Ants, urine, John?
I don't mind the ants.
Yeah, but you've got to draw the line somewhere, don't you, John?
Man, these
party with you.
These are really bad ants.
Don't take the brown ants, is what I say.
We could continue playing this all day and all night quite easily. Mm. I don't know if the station would be happy with that. We've got to wind up with a bit of serious politics. Don't be put off. There'll be some jokes in there.
Thank
That'll
you, John.
Be next. Thank you, John. Thank you, everybody. You get this? It's really time for us to go here and get this around the nation on Triple M. Alan, Peter, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thank you, guys. Pleasure.
It has been a lot of fun. We should be signing off, but we've had so many requests to play that press conference from yesterday with Peter Costello. Do you want to hear it again?
I do.
It's slightly disturbing. Let's hear it again now on Get This.
Oh, well, look, I think we've all got the measure of Kevin Rudd in the last week. I mean, he's a criminal.
He's a criminal?
Well, I mean, he's having lunch with, you know, someone like Brian Burke. I mean, you tell me, what were they discussing?
But surely, do you think he was...
Well, we don't know. I mean, there's no footage, there's no transcript, but I think we can probably guess what someone of that nature was discussing. Robbing pensioners, plotting a murder, baby broking. Who knows what?
Well,
I'm not saying that Mr. Rudd is selling children on the internet, but I mean, is there any evidence he's not? I mean, who knows what they were talking about at that restaurant?
Mr. Costello, surely
Look, I just think he's a murderer, probably an arsonist. I mean, you know, is that restaurant still standing?
You're
Do we know? Well,
no,
have you got any
ground.
Evidence that it is? I mean, who knows?
No
Kevin Rudd and Brian Burke and Bradley John Murdoch, who, Bradley of course, John we Murdoch. Know was running riot over there in WA. They probably burnt the place to the ground, probably to disguise the evidence.
What evidence are you talking about?
Well, the evidence is now gone. The restaurant is burned to the ground. He's covered his tracks, and that's pretty typical of Ivan Milat. Sorry, of Kevin Rudd. Did I call him Ivan Milat?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, it's just a slip of the tongue there. But
Mr. Costello, you don't seem to have any evidence.
Well, okay, so we've established he's an arsonist and a baby broker. That's not enough for you people. Okay, so maybe he wasn't in the Langlo Forest, but I'm sure he was probably there in spirit.
Oh, Mr. Costello.
Just as he was... helping to cause the drought.
What? How was he?
Well,
drought?
Well, do you know? I mean, do you have any idea what was discussed at that restaurant? Who's to say Brian Burke and Kevin Rudd and Idi Amin weren't there?
Idi Amin?
Sorry, well, do you know that he wasn't? You know, you call yourself a journalist, do your homework. I mean, you're talking about someone who's, like I say, peddling amphetamines.
Really?
Well, I mean, how do we know he's not? Yeah, well, why don't you ask him about that? Don't come to me with questions about his drug dealing and music plagiarism.
Oh,
who knows what else he's involved in?
Mr. Costello, what do you honestly think was discussed?
As far as I know, it was about taking kiddies and pensioners, defenceless elderly people, who I have a lot of time for, and crushing them into a fine powder in one of his death mills, as I understand Kevin calls them.
Really?
I don't think anyone wants to see loved ones crushed into a fine powder and then distributed through the prison system to murderers and criminals of that sort.
But how do you know that any of this is true?
I don't know. I mean, he's the one who's gone to the lunch. I mean, maybe you should ask him. Maybe you should contact him via his killing fields. But I just say to the voters, do you want a convicted murderer running the country? If so, vote for Kevin Rudd, by all means. Go and have lunch with him and his army of orcs. Yeah, look. All I know is he was at that lunch. But beyond that, I refuse to be drawn into speculation as to what was discussed. No further questions, thank you.
Costello, please, Mr. Costello.
Well, good to have that issue sorted out. We've had someone call in. Kane says that the heavy metal version of, well, your Live Aid was in fact hearing aid. No, hearing aid.
Hearing.
Left out the apostrophes. Oh, okay, yeah. Organised by Ronnie James Dio, of course.
Oh, right.
Organised that. Alan, your show, Top Town.
Yes.
When does that kick off at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival?
It's the 5th of April it kicks off at the Town Hall.
Oh, well, we'll be speaking to you before then. And Peter Grace, if people want to look up some of your clips on YouTube, what do they do?
Look up A New World Mantra. It's only one I got there to put get attention.
And we must get you back in at some point. Ed, have we left anything out?
No, I mean, I've been educated today. I mean, loved it.
What was our key phrase? Ah, what do you think it was, Richard Marsland?
I'm not sure. Let me have a think.
Yeah, I think that was it right there. That was what I heard during that quiz for almost every question. And tomorrow we'll be back with Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Yes, and his accordion. And it's all thanks to as yet nobody.